This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Here on Well, we delve into the issues impacting and surrounding the health and well-being of our gender, sex, and sexuality diverse communities. I'm your host, Jack Rinjanin, and in this episode, we're heading over to Adelaide for Feast Festival. Similar to Midsummer's Festival Day or Mardi Gras Parade, Feast Festival has its picnic in the park every year, its flagship event, and there I spoke with a number of community organisations and community sporting groups to get a better sense of where the community is at and what work there is left to do in advocating for our LGBTIQ+ communities. Cal also head over to GEARD, the Kink and Fetish Festival in Adelaide, and spoke to some of the title holders about their experience at that event. That's all coming up this episode on Well.
You're getting Well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
We're here at Picnic in the Park as part of Feast Festival 2023, and I'm here with Anne from YUCSA, the Youth Affairs Council of South Australia. Anne, tell me a little bit about the work you do as CEO of the organisation and what YUCSA does in the space.
Cool. Well, as the CEO, my job is to make sure everything's working because we're a very small team. We're 3.8 FTE, so there's only five of us. What's more important is what YUCSA does, and that is that we're the peak body that represents young people aged 12 to 25 and the non-government youth services that support them. So our job is systems advocacy. And we do that through research, policy development, analysis and advice, consultation and coordination. So we're consulting young people here today at Picnic, information dissemination, and also we do capacity building around youth participation and engagement.
Now, YUCSA is not, I suppose, queer specific in its remit. I guess, tell me a little bit about the queer specific work that YUCSA has done.
Look, we, like I said, represent young people aged 12 to 25, so across the board. We know that young people who are LGBTIQA+ have unique issues and concerns, so we're just really keen to make sure that we understand them, that we hear them firsthand from young people, so that we can accurately represent them.
Is this the first time you've been at Picnic?
It is the first time we've been at Picnic, but it certainly won't be the last.
No. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask a little bit about some of the issues you hear facing queer young people. And I guess for, you know, people listening to the show, we're at your booth now and we can see these sort of A4 pieces of paper, what would make SA a better place for LGBTQIA+ young people. And so there are a number of sticky notes around it. Let's do a quick whip around. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing and I guess what that means to you.
Yeah, well, in terms of themes that we're hearing today, there's a lot of stuff around better sex education and relationship education and starting earlier. Like a lot of young people have told us, they're getting that sort of stuff in high school, but it needs to start in primary school. Yep. So that's something we need to think about. There's lots of comments about better training and understanding for people who work in health, including GPs, so that they know how to work effectively and appropriately and respectfully with LGBTQIA+ young people.
And capacity building for schools, I imagine, is part of that as well.
I think it's a huge issue, especially if we think about, they want there to be better information at schools. So it's not just about that sort of formal education or what's in the curriculum that young people might have.
It's pastoral care. Makes more sense.
Yeah, so it's also just about teachers understanding young people across the board, but certainly having a much better understanding about LGBTQIA+ young people.
I mean, I'm also seeing a few other comments here around Medicare-covered health services, around potentially, gender-affirming care. We're seeing there as well.
Yes.
So it's quite a broad range of issues.
Disability support and training as well. So yeah, it's quite a broad range of issues that young people have raised, which is excellent. Helps our understanding better. We don't make stuff up. We make sure that we talk to young people and hear directly from them before we advocate with and for them. So this has been a fantastic exercise today.
Walk me through where this goes from here, because I imagine, you know, being a community-led organization, quite small, you have to be quite agile, I guess, in that way as well. If people want to know, where are these comments going? Is anyone listening to what we have to say? Where do you take all of this?
Yeah, well, we'll certainly write all of this up. And we always do this verbatim, so we're not editorializing. Yep. When we ask young people what they think about things, we actually record them as they are. What we will do is identify what the key themes are. We'll put all that into a document that we'll be able to post on our website. So if you want to have a look, that's yaxa.com.au. And we'll also share that with the relevant ministers and shadow ministers straight up, but it also means that when we're talking to decision makers or other stakeholders, that we can share this information.
Are there any, I guess, standout comments or shifts from what maybe you expected to see from queer young people in terms of what's here, or maybe stuff that isn't here that you expected to see potentially more of?
I thought that we might see some more stuff about gender affirming care.
Yep.
We do have some comments about that. And I thought we might see a little bit more stuff about safe spaces for young people, but we're at Picnic in the Park, which is a monstrously safe space for young people.
Yes.
So that might not be front of mind as they're moving around today.
I mean, this is the first time that Yaxa is at Picnic. I guess tell me a little bit about your experience at Picnic. You know, it's sort of in the mid-afternoon at this point. What's it been like? What, I guess, has it felt like for you to see young people come by and, I imagine, feel like they're being listened to in you would hope, goodness, as well as, you know, what else maybe you're looking forward to at Feast this year?
Look, it's just been a fantastic event. It's there are so many people here, which is great. I expected there to be lots of people, but yeah, there are lots of children as well as young people, which is great. We've been making badges today, so we've got Design Your Own Pronoun badge that we can make up for you today. So while young people have been doing that, we've had the opportunity to have a good old chat about what's going on in the world, sometimes about issues and sometimes just about stuff, which has been kind of cool. So it's just been a really fabulous experience. And I don't know, what time is it? It's 3:30, and I feel like there's more people here now than than there were earlier. So I don't imagine the crowd's going to dissipate anytime soon.
Well, I won't hold it for too much longer. And from Yaxa, thank you very much for your time.
Awesome, thank you.
Here at Picnic at Feast Festival 2023, beautiful sunny day. We managed to get away from most of the noise, and I'm here with Brendan from the Adelaide Dolphins. Tell me a little bit about yourself and also the Dolphins and where you've come from and what you do.
Oh, sure. So I'm Brendan. I'm the new president for the Adelaide Dolphins. Originally a Kiwi, don't hold that against me. Soon to be an Australian citizen in a few months.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, okay. They've opened up a few doors, which is really exciting. So come over from across the ditch, so to speak.
Yep.
The Adelaide Dolphins, we were actually really, really new. We've only started up in March this year in 2023. Originally started by Masaki, who was our previous president, really wonderful guy. We will come back one day from Melbourne. So the Adelaide Dolphins, we're a swim team. That means basically we are coming from all backgrounds of beginners to competition.
Yep.
And what that means is that we it's a very social, but it's also like a very individual sport. So we get to really enjoy getting better and being in the water as well. Like, any excuse to wear a speedo, right? Especially in Adelaide.
I was going to say, a good chunk of the team have been wearing speedos. You've kept the tops on, so you're not just, you know, like getting it all out and bare for everyone to see, but there's been a very obvious lack, absence of pants through a good chunk of today, I've seen.
It's definitely intentional.
I can tell.
Since we're so new.
That's the sales pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Sex sells, you know. But we would love to have more recruits. We've had a lot of great feedback. It's really nice to meet other teams as well. It's been a huge... big part of this was not just necessarily finding more people, but reaching out to other teams, because I think it's just really important to be part of that community. And with especially me coming on as a president, I'm going to really push that sort of social interconnectedness. I think that's really, really, really important. That's sort of us.
Do you get the sense that, so you've been talking about how the response at Picnic has been rather positive, I gather. I guess, where are you wanting the team to kind of get to? It's still, you know, fairly early days for the team. It's only been around since March. You're very fresh in the president position, right? Where do you kind of want to see the Dolphins, let's say, in, you know, the in March 2024?
So biggest thing, recruitment. Like we've got a consistent small team, but would love to have more people. Yep. Really would love to be represented at the gay games. We'd love to see ourselves interstate and competing. Not all of this is about competition.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to see, if I want to think really big, not necessarily in 2024, but like to see our own gay games here, and like having like a carnival for the sports teams. That'd be awesome. Like, I'd love to see that happen again. Big job. But dream big, I guess. But biggest thing, we really want to see ourselves represented across the country. Yeah, and even possibly internationally as well. Yeah.
You were talking about that interest in bringing people together and having that sort of social aspect for it. What kind of impact do you feel, but also do you see in some of your team members from having that sense of community and that connection between folk?
So our biggest thing for that is it's a welcoming nature, you know, and we want to see everyone from all walks of life. Right now, it's just a bunch of gay boys, which is nice.
Yep.
But we'd love to see some trans, we'd love to see some girls, we'd love to see everyone in between. That it's a space, it's welcoming. I know swimming is terrifying for a lot of people, but it's been quite incredible how our coaches have really brought us to a level that is really efficient as well. And we can bring that across the board, and I think that's, it's huge. It's build our own unit, but also just be really, really accessible to everyone as well. Yeah, we got a recent... we've got a come and try swim next Saturday.
Yep.
And that's going to be just to see how people are in the water. Hopefully people don't drown. That's always a big plus. but we're looking forward to it. So it's going to be hopefully a big push in our numbers. Yeah, yeah.
Picnic this year is sort of fairly early on in Feast Festival. What have been some of the highlights of your time at Picnic today? And what are you looking forward to for the rest of Feast?
So... I've really loved how chill it is here. It's been super lovely today. Everyone's been just themselves, wanting to sort of show off and express themselves and just really be who they are.
Yep.
Really enjoying the music that's been present. I was here at Mary's in the Park last night. That was a lot of fun. I unfortunately missed the march last week. I was out of the state, unfortunately, but I heard it was a lot of fun too.
There's still plenty to keep up with for the rest of Picnic, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of mischief you're going to get up to over Feast as well.
Especially while wearing Speedos, definitely.
Oh, totally. Brendan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Sexual health, mental health, and the overall well-being of our LGBTIQ communities. You're listening to Well, Well, Well.
We're here at Rundle Park in Adelaide, at Picnic in the Park, kicking off Feast in some ways, and I'm here with Tamsin. I guess for people who don't know you, Tamsin, tell me a little bit about who you are and the work that you do, specific, I guess, to labour.
Yeah, hi, I'm Tamsin Anspark. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm one of the co-conveners of Rainbow Labour here in South Australia. We always have a presence at Picnic because it is the queer event of the year. It's where our community comes together. I always love seeing there's many baby queers who come and it's their first event. And it's a great time to come together and organise for things we're wanting to do. And today here at Rainbow Labour, we're collecting signatures because the state Labour government committed to criminalising conversion practices, and that process is taking a bit longer than we would like. So we're collecting signatures to show them that the community wants this to happen. We want it to happen in this term of government. We've been hearing stories from community of loved ones who have been through conversion practices, people who themselves have been through it, and people who have lost loved ones through conversion practices. And this is a very simple thing that the government of South Australia can do to stand with the queer community.
For people who outside of SA that might not be as well across the landscape of conversion practices being banned in certain states and territories, provide a little bit of context around where it has been banned and I guess why in some part, because obviously like Labor wasn't in government here in South Australia for quite a while, why it's taken this long to get to the point where the government is even talking about, yes, this is something that we're working towards.
I would say in South Australia, we as a community ourselves haven't been having the conversation about conversion practices. I don't think we've had any large scandals with any big church groups coming out or any schools. So we've not had the community consciousness ourselves around it. So I think that's part of the process of the next 12 months is actually having the conversation in our community and reminding ourselves that this is happening. We're not actually talking about it. There's survivors among us and we've maybe not been listening to their voices and we can do better. So hopefully that process will help put pressure and make sure that the Labor government delivers on its commitment of banning conversion practices.
That's obviously a big focus for Rainbow Labor at this point. Are there any other points of law reform in South Australia or nationally that are kind of front of mind for you and the community organisation more broadly?
Honestly, in terms of law reform, there was a very comprehensive amount of law reform that happened under the Jay Weatherill government, including with births, deaths and marriages. A lot of the issues we're facing now where we need a campaign on is in the policy space rather than the legislative realm. Things like access to healthcare, things, you know, a bill's not going to solve that, but, you know, ensuring that mechanisms are laid throughout government departments through policy making so that the queer community is heard and is served by the services of South Australia. It's that more nuanced and detailed work that we're fighting for now. It's not as simple as the marriage equality campaign, which was a yes or no ask. This is, it's
much more nuanced.
It's nuanced and it has to capture the beautiful nuance of all the LGBTIQA plus communities, which again, there's like, we have so much diversity within us. So it's, I guess, starting this new norm post-marriage equality of the constant conversation and checking in with all elements of our community to see where they're at, what they need, if they're being serviced by the government, which is a different type of work, I think, to what we've done previously, where we've had one big campaign or one big fight. Now is the sort of a new normal, which is a bit scary, but also really exciting.
Well, I mean, to that point, you were talking about how there wasn't as much of a conversation as maybe there should be around conversion practices within community. Within the South Australian community, do you feel like there is more room for queer communities to push for policy or, legislative, you said, is not so much a focus now, but on the policy side, obviously the SA Rainbow Advocacy Alliance does a lot of work in this space. Do you feel like there is growing community organisation support, or is that where things kind of get a little bit difficult here?
I think we have a growing ecosystem, and I think things like SARA existing, the fact that we now have Thorn Harbour Health expanding their services into South Australia, noting like our AIDS Council here went into administration, so we haven't had a community-controlled organisation in our health services ecosystem. So things like that, I think, are the first steps we're taking into creating a more richer ecosystem of queer advocacy organisations and community-controlled service organisations so we can have those conversations and actually put those things to government. So it's not just on, you know, advocacy groups that pop up and, you know, volunteers that burn themselves out, so that we're actually creating as a community infrastructure, you know, jobs that support the work that we're doing.
We are here at Picnic and we were talking about how, you know, this is the sort of big queer day for the year here in Adelaide and in SA a bit more broadly as well. I guess how important is it to have events like Feast and like Picnic that bring the community together? What sort of impact do you see on people here coming to events like these? I mean, you mentioned Baby Queers earlier.
I'm thinking back to a moment earlier today, and I almost feel like I could shed a tear. I remember when I was a little bubba, and I didn't come to Picnic, but I one day I went to the fence of Picnic, and that was my first dip in the corner. And I remember Britney Spears Toxic playing on the inside and being like, one day I want to be in there. And yeah, just seeing we've got people of all ages, all abilities, all backgrounds here, all coming together, connecting. And it's one of the few opportunities that we have. Last weekend we had our Pride March, which is great, but it's more of a display and less of a mechanism for interconnection. So this is our main thing, and it's really exciting this year that Feast brought it to the start of the festival so that we can also showcase all the amazing queer artists and venues that are going to be spotlighted throughout the rest of the festival. But yeah, it's really important.
I guess on the point of Feast, are there any events that you're particularly looking forward to, or any shift in Feast's vibe this year? Because there has been something of a shift in how Feast has been organised and been run and all of that. What are you looking forward to most out of Feast this year?
Oh, well, honestly, I'm going to try and get down to the sauna for the same-ish tour of the sauna, because I just think it'll be really interesting. And also Thorn Harbour having a sober party, a mixer-only mixer at My Lover Cindy's, which is a great queer venue. So I'm really excited as a sober person to get along to that and vibe with my sober queer friends.
Tamsin, enjoy the rest of Picnic. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
As part of Feast Festival 2023, we're at Picnic in the Park, and I'm here now with Brett from Sara, the Community Engagement Officer. Brett, I guess, I mean, we heard from you at Picnic last year. You were with the Rainbow Crows at that point. Or you're, well, on the booth on that day, I guess. For people who maybe aren't aware of Sara and the work you do and the work that, Brett, you personally do, tell us about Sara's work and your work.
Certainly. Well, Sara is the South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance. We are the peak body that advocates directly to MPs, government departments, about making legislative change in our state, and also changes that we know are really required across all of our government departments. We also do a variety of other different projects. So, as you said, I'm the community engagement officer. One of the things that we do is we want to make sure that our advocacy is actually led by our community. So we actually introduced a membership model this year so that our organisation is literally led by community. So we want people to sign up, but we want to hear their voices. Prior to the last state election, we did a survey. We surveyed over 600 of our community here in SA and asked them what they actually want to see changed. And so we created our vision for 2030, which is our big thing. And so we're working on those changes. But we also do a variety of other activities and projects where we want to help support our queer community in South Australia that we know is well and truly needed.
You spoke a little bit there about the advocacy work around policymakers, around law reform, around legislative change. I guess as part of that agenda, what is Sara focusing on in this space? I mean, I've heard from some other people around conversion practices are kind of front of mind. Tell us a little bit about that side of Sara's work.
Yeah, certainly. So, one of the things that my work colleague Beck does is she actually goes in and has these conversations with MPs directly. Yep. And so, yeah, certainly one of those conversations is conversion practices. So our Labor government before the last election promised as part of signing up that they would actually work with that. So we're talking directly with MPs right across the spectrum. One of the things that we talk to them about, and very excitingly they actually did as part of the announcement for Feast Festival, is we've had what's called a rainbow friendship group that's actually been formed in Parliament. So a friendship group is when they actually have an agreement across party. So we've got a representative from Labor, Liberal and Greens who've all signed in together as part of that friendship group. And so what they'll actually do is they will meet periodically and discuss some of these important issues, and we all have conversations with them. So, but yeah, certainly conversion practices is certainly our main focus for next year. And we know that it's not easy work, but once again, it's one of those things that's really important that it's community led.
Part of the advocacy side of things as well is around making sure people understand the issues facing, you know, our queer communities. It's certainly not just one. Yeah. Part of that, I imagine, is Rainbow Realities this year too, where it is, I guess, as an outsider, right, like a short sort of documentary style video that's been published through Sara's channels, telling the stories of people that have really struggled with service access and really of their lived experience in SA. Tell us a little bit about what you're wanting to accomplish with Rainbow Realities 2 and the impact you saw when community saw it.
Yeah. So the Rainbow Realities 1 was sort of a little bit more directed towards our community. Yep. So with Rainbow Realities 2, we really wanted to broaden that horizon and educate our wider community. So that was really our focus for this one. So we wanted to hear from people with lived experience about the discrimination that they've faced here in SA. Yep. And we had, you know, six different presenters, including one amazing ally, talking about their experience of discrimination and also giving a little bit of advice or ideas to our allies on ways that you can actually become an active ally. So it's one thing, you know, we love allies turning up to our picnics and our parties, but really the most important thing is that we actually need them to turn up to our rallies and all those things where we're actually making the change. So so that was really good. And we certainly received a lot of really great feedback from both our community, but also allies, you know, people who said that, you know, haven't we not already banned conversion practices, you know? And so for a lot of people, they didn't even realize that it was still a thing. So yeah, really important, obviously.
We're sort of getting towards the back end of Picnic in the Park today, but it is still fairly early, I guess, as far as Feast is concerned. Tell me a little bit about your experience at Picnic today, maybe some of the most your favorite moments or your most memorable moments, and what you're looking forward to as far as Feast goes for the rest of the festival.
Yeah, well, Picnic is probably is the biggest queer event here in South Australia. So it's always a really fun day. It's been really great weather. So it's just been a really nice flow of people coming through. We've obviously been talking to a lot of people about the work that we do and getting really good responses from people with that. So that's really good. We've got a couple of events that we're running ourselves. Every year we have what's called the Ian Purcell Oration. Ian Purcell actually started SARA in 2013 and was a huge advocate for our community across many years during the AIDS pandemic and a lot of work since then. So we do an oration in his name. And another thing that we're doing, December the 1st, which is World AIDS Day, Rundle Mall, 5 p.m. on the Friday, we're doing a gay zap. And it's all about a queer love-in. So we want everyone to come together. We've got some bands, we've got some MPs and other speakers, and it's about showing the wider community that our community is about love and inclusion and acceptance. So it's gonna be hopefully a good fun, positive message. So we invite everyone to come along and show that love.
A lot to look forward to. Brett, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Keen to keep the conversation going about health and well-being? For more episodes of Well, 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 head to the Joy website, joy.org.au/well-well-well.
All right, we're here at Geared 2023. For listeners, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. So my name is Sharon, commonly known in the scene as Miss Behaving, and now the Sash winner of Adelaide Rubber 2023.
How did you first get into rubber?
So I was working as a professional dominatrix under the tuition of another well-known Adelaide dominatrix, and she had quite the wardrobe and the smell. It was the smell going into her changing room and just inhaling that latex. And of course, it looks damn hot as well, and then feels damn hot, and there's everything about it. And then Miss Electra Amar from Melbourne, who used to also be a latex tailor as well as a dominatrix. I fawned after her look, her wardrobe, everything about her. I was in awe of her. And so, yeah, she was the one that really, really got me into it.
So then you've gotten into latex, but what made you decide to get into the competition? Because that's a whole nother thing, and putting yourself out there in a whole different way.
I've been pestered to nominate for 3 years and I finally relented this year because I felt my life was in a space where I could commit and also my health. I've had health problems in the past and didn't feel that I was healthy enough to be able to commit fully. And now I do. I'm working part-time and managing to keep my head above water financially to do that, so that affords me some more time to be able to devote to community and the rubber community specifically.
And you were quite open about that last night in the competition, that, you know, you do have to be considerate, like when it came to the, I guess, sort of the talent round, so to speak, around, you were concerned around, you know, you not being standing for too long and things like that. How do you feel, you know, how do you feel the conversation is going when it comes to things like kink and fetish and inclusivity for people from an accessibility standpoint?
Well, funnily enough, that's the conversation I was just having when you approached me about maybe doing some workshop-y type things with other people that are also living with invisible illnesses, and raising awareness around that. We are definitely getting better, but we've still got a heck of a long way to go.
Geared, I've noticed so far, and I talked to a couple other people around it, seems to be maybe a bit more diverse than some of the other kind of kink and fetish communities that we see around Australia. Oftentimes there are some that are maybe predominantly men who have sex with men, but really it's a big mix here. Is that just during Geared, or do you think that's reflective of the community more broadly here?
I think it's still dominated quite a lot by men who have sex with men, and so it's one of the reasons I'm really excited to have been sashed, because I can bring a feminine side to and more diversity into the fetish and kink scene. We can't bring that diversity unless we do have more females in leadership roles where we're visible.
If there was anyone out there who is a more feminine voice that maybe is thinking about getting involved in the kink and fetish scene but isn't really sure the best way to do that because maybe they're intimidated, and, you know, we hear that folks kind of get intimidated by a kink and fetish thing, what advice would you have to folks that maybe want to dip their toes in our kind of kinky waters?
Oh my God, that's a really difficult one. Why weren't you on the panel yesterday asking the interview questions? That would have stumped me. It's really, really difficult for women if you don't know anyone that can kind of mentor you, take you in, take you under their wing. Because I think where everybody goes initially is online, and that can be a real cesspool and a really dangerous place, because you've got no idea. I think a lot of people start off with FetLife because it's really approachable, and they read what they think what they're reading is true to life, as the case with the internet in general, and it's not. Again, I think it's really, really important to have females in leadership roles so that we can be approached and maybe help steer them in the right direction so they're not getting caught up with the wrong people.
Is an organization like Adelaide, the Leather and Fetish, is that a good place to kind of start to know some community folks that are maybe based there, or are there other peer orgs and other, you know, places? Is that maybe a place to start?
I don't think there are any peer orgs as far as I know, but certainly ALF and the pub nights that we do. But again, it's really intimidating coming along on your own. There is now... there's at least two of us, cis females, that can be approached, and there's quite a few non-binary people as well in ALF. And yeah, if we're approached, we'll definitely take you under our wing and look after you in that environment.
I didn't get to ask you before, but during your performance, you also did a saucy spoken word piece. A lot of listeners who wouldn't have been there last night, can you tell us what you did?
Yeah, so I've been told it's called an oration, which sounds very fancy, but I wrote a story and sat and read a story, which started off a lot longer than it actually was, and I had to cut it back for fear that everybody would fall asleep. But everybody has given me really positive feedback, and a lot of people saying, hey, I thought I was gay, and now I'm thinking I might be bi after that. So yeah, it was good fun.
Well, it's great that you're expanding people's horizons right straight out the gate, so to speak, or not so straight out the gate. What are you hoping? I mean, you've talked about bringing a feminine voice. Do you have any other aspirations for the year ahead?
Yeah, I really want to learn as much as possible, not just about rubber, but what's going on in other states and potentially other countries as well, and bring that back and feed into South Australian kink community and ALF, and let's grow it. Let's become the best.
So. If folks are already involved in the scene, but they've never been to Adelaide for Geared before, what do you think that Geared offers folks?
Oh God, it is so inclusive and so warm and welcoming, and there's something for everybody. All the workshops that are going on today, you might not be interested in all of them, but there's something for everybody. I'm really upset that I missed the arts workshop. I really wanted to go to that. Even if you just come into the market and you're not interested in and getting actively involved, it's a great place to come, chat to people, see the things on sale, and this wonderful art display as well.
Any final thoughts that you would put out there as you get start your journey as Adelaide Rubber 2023? Are you still just processing and taking it all in? Have you had feedback from community members about last night's competition so far?
Oh, everybody had the whale of a time last night, and all the competitors did such a good job. I'm glad I wasn't on the judging panel. It would have been exceptionally difficult, I think, particularly for the Adelaide Mr. Leather. That was hard. It would have been so close. The feedback has been exceptionally positive, really warm, really welcoming. It's exactly what I would have expected of the Adelaide Leather and Fetish community.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time and congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we're at Geared 2023. For listeners, can you tell me who are you?
Absolutely. I'm Vic and I'm the current Ms. Australian Leather.
And where do you usually hail from?
From Brisbane in Queensland.
And that's what I want to ask you about. You're here in Adelaide for Geared. Is this your first Geared and how have you found it?
It is my first Geared and I've come down with a wonderful group of title holders from Brisbane to support the event. And I have to say it's completely blown me away. So I came down Thursday, so I started the events on Thursday evening. We'll go through till tomorrow. It has been an eclectic weekend filled with a wonderful dinner and meet and greet, an opportunity to get to know the contestants, and followed by parties and cabarets and all sorts of great things, and I've had a great time. Yeah.
You mentioned that it blew you away, that it had this impact on you. How does it compare to, say, the experience in Brisbane?
I think that we have just done some different kinds of events in Brisbane, so it gave us an opportunity to come down here and see the Adelaide twist to something like Geared. But also, I guess it's an opportunity to meet people from not only Adelaide, but around the state who come in for Geared. It's had a great turnout. Most of the events, there's been, you know, well up over 100 or a couple of hundred people. So it's just been great to learn what people's kinks are and what they're into and why they came to Geared. So it's been a pretty great learning experience, to be honest. Yeah.
One of the things that we hear a lot about when we talk about kink and fetish communities, sometimes spaces can be quite gendered because, a lot of kink and fetish monks just men who have sex with men. As a Ms. title, I'm particularly keen to hear from you. How do you think they're doing with regard to inclusivity here in Adelaide and during Geared?
I thought that it has been incredibly inclusive. So I've seen and met folk that identify right across the rainbow. I'm just going to say that because it's too many words to try and cover. But what I think has also been really noticeable is that the event organisers, so I'm putting that down to the committee that are here, but probably the president and vice president here, so that's Zach and Morgan, they seem to have really gone out on a limb to ensure that all events have been very inclusive. I haven't felt like there's been an overload of any particular group. And I've also, and although I think that often, male space for leather men, and I really respect and admire that, is somewhat dominant to maybe some of the other groups, you wouldn't have felt that. You just felt really welcome. Yeah.
Having had the positive experience that you've had at Geared, do you expect you'll be coming back in the future?
I am definitely coming back. I've had a great time in Adelaide and I would encourage any other kinksters or just little, people that might be exploring or pups. That was another thing. There was a lot of pups here and they bring a whole lot of another level of fun to the whole thing. So I would say get on a plane, get booked and come. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Very good. Well, thanks for your time.
My pleasure and thank you.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
So I'm here at Geared 2023, and first of all, for listeners, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Storm. I am the current Mr. Adelaide Leather 2023.
Well, not just current, like the freshly minted Mr. Adelaide 2023, so congratulations. First of all, I guess, tell me a little bit. I know you explained it last night at the competition, but where did this journey to some extent your campaign for this title, where did that all begin?
So it first started, obviously, when I first started coming out on the kink scene there. For me, my first community was actually more the nudist community. I'd lost a whole lot of weight, and so I was finally feeling body positive about myself. So I thought, why not give it a shot, put myself out there, and I've really enjoyed the Adelaide kink scene since then. I did love leather before that one, but it wasn't really until Geared last year where I got to experience it on a mass scale, and then I was watching the beautiful contestants last year, just awestruck by the whole event, and said just before they got sashed, that's me on stage next year. And I stuck to my guns, and here I am, and I'm the new title holder. So
congratulations for that. Have you delved much into kink and fetish stuff outside of Adelaide?
Not as much, just because, again, I'm a workaholic, sadly, and don't always have the funds for it. But now that I'm definitely got the sash, I'm looking to travel more and see what else, especially with mingling with everyone interstate who's come here for Geared. It's been really incredible to see their perspective on kink, and it's just made me more excited for kink as a whole in Australia.
Considering, as you were saying, you kind of got into kink relatively not too long ago, if you were describing it to someone else who hasn't delved into it before, how would you describe the community here?
I think the main word that I can use is just welcoming. Everyone's will happily lend an ear. They'll happily, you know, introduce you to some basics and stuff like that, not try and overwhelm anyone. Again, we're a community first, and again, we play second there for yourself. And it's never about pushing anyone's boundary. It's more as you're going, as you're comfortable, making sure that, again, it's safe and consensual and sane as well. So got to remember those.
And it's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because a big conversation last night was around looking after each other and looking after our mental health and well-being. And it does seem like there is a very, like, that seems to be a signature element of, like, folks kind of looking after for each other in this space. Have you felt really supported in your kind of campaign to do this? Because it can be a bit intimidating, and you're putting yourself out there in a space that can feel vulnerable.
Absolutely. Has a nerve-wracking period, but again, competing in any stage does that one. But especially the local community, previous title holders, those who are just out there just lending a hand, producers, especially here and nationwide, they've all been really helpful and really supportive, and I couldn't thank them enough for everything. They're part of the reason why I won this title. So,
well, look, the competition is over, but it's really just the beginning for you as your title year. Have you even had time to think about, or in the lead up to this, do you have aspirations for what you want to do with the year, or are you still processing it?
A lot of still processing, because again, it was me and another competitor, and towards the end there, I'm like, he's got it, it's not me. So part of me, I'd love, again, obviously, to travel a little bit more, see the rest of Australia's kink there for yourself. I'd love to promote a little bit more about limiting bi-erasure there and just totally stopping it if I can. I mean, that's a big task, but I'll see what I can do to try, and otherwise just getting the conversation going about changing some of the laws that still discriminate against the queers in our community. It's not right. We should be equal. We've got marriage equality. Let's work on the rest of it there.
Well, you just touched on it there, and you mentioned it yesterday, but for listeners who weren't at last night's competition, you talked about bisexuality in the community. Can you tell us a little bit about what you talked about last night?
So when I first came out on the scene, I very much felt, as a bisexual, that I was too queer for the straight community, but not gay enough for the queer community. And a lot of the backlash I received was actually from the queer community, not being as fully accepted, saying that I was a fence sitter, that I just needed more time to figure myself out, that it's not a real thing. Again, we are part of the LGBTQIA+. B is in there for a reason there, and we need to make sure that we welcome and accept that, just because it may not be our experience.
Have you found, especially with bi visibility is like a really important issue, because there's a lot of folks that don't come out as bi, or maybe depending on the community they're in, they'll say that they're same-sex attracted or that they're opposite attracted, whatever the case may be. How do you feel about the kink community here? Has it been relatively accepting, or are you kind of only just getting into that conversation with folks?
It's been mostly accepting. It didn't used to be like this one there, but over the last years, particularly since COVID, we've been more welcoming, more embracing of it all, which I think is a wonderful thing. But again, there's still many steps forward that we need to do to really include everyone and make sure that it's a welcoming, no matter who you are or what you identify as.
Putting yourself out there last night, has anyone, and I'm sure you're probably going to hear from people today because it's really the morning after, so to speak, but have you had any immediate feedback from anybody that you've talked to?
So a lot of my friends and family who I may have mentioned it to. Some of them were able to come last night to support, and that was amazing for me. Other ones who couldn't unfortunately make it, it's just been an overwhelming cry of support and just congratulations. And they kept saying that they knew that I had it in me and that they thought it was just amazing that I had gotten to this point where I've been able to be comfortably proud as myself, fully out of my shell, doing this for the whole world to see. And I can 100% say I'm fully Storm by name at this moment. So
you mentioned your broader network of people, and some of them were here last night, and some of them I believe are work colleagues for one of the things that you do for work. Again, for listeners, can you describe what you wore for your, it was for the second round of the night. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So one of my jobs that I do is I work at an axe throwing venue. So I had the concept of like a huntsman from like a fairy tale, but make it strappy and make it basically wearing nothing. So an axe on each hip, a big one on my back that I was then twirling and causing sparks on the stage and hopefully giving a lot of people a new take on brown leather and huntsmen and hairy guys as a fetish.
Well, and again, for radio, people can't tell right now, but you're ginger with long hair. You have a very Nordic look about you, so it did seem very much the woodsman part. You played it well. What would you say to anybody else be out there for like the, maybe thinking about the competition but thinking, I'm not fetish or kink enough, or I'm not the right person for this, I kind of want to do it, but you know, if anyone's debating about going for a title, what would you say?
I'd say you are 100% enough. I was out there, like I said in my speech, that I was out in the crowd literally looking, saying that was going to be me. I said to myself, set a goal, and I had the balls to do it. Have the courage, have the balls, because again, you could end up like I am, and it is the most amazing feeling. And even if you didn't win, my fellow competitor, Cooper, he is going to do some amazing things in the community, and I look forward to working with him as well. So even just the exposure and learning and pushing yourself is well worth the effort. I absolutely encourage you to give it a shot, whatever it is, title that you're going for, whatever you're looking to pursue.
I'm going to be asking one question to everybody throughout the day here, especially for folks that are based here in Adelaide. For the rest of the country or beyond, what is special about Geared that people should come to Geared for?
Not only just the sense of community, but we throw a hell of a party down here in Adelaide. A lot of people think, oh, no, we're going to go to Sydney, we're going to go to Perth, we're going to go to Queensland. No, no, no. Adelaide is definitely where it's at there for yourself. So don't skip on us. Put it in your calendars next year. We're going to go off and it's going to be a hell of a blast. You will make sure it's in your calendar every year since, as soon as you come.
Storm, thank you so much. Congratulations, Mr. Adelaide Leather 2023. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you ever so much.
You're getting well, well, well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
That's all we have time for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to catch up on anything you missed in this episode or our previous episodes, you can head to the Joy website, joy.org.au/well, well, well. If you have any questions or suggestions for topics for us to cover here on the show, you can also send those through to well@joy.org.au. That is it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Well Well Well, supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ+ health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website Thorn Harbour.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.